Any other highlights? Yeah?
I'm not sure if it was Sarah or somebody else who spoke and said, and it really made an impact on me, the fact that Hope Cup is sacred. But I guess that we have to honor and respect her.
Mm-hmm. How do we determine what's the right thing to do? I don't know if there is a determination of it. And how is that going to be interpreted if someone does collect?
We are looking to the descendants to have some discussion just about Okuk in general. So I think that's a good point. Should we actually go to Okuk or not?
And the logistics of things didn't support that at this time, and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So we came here. I think it was a good alternate spot to go. There was talk here at this gathering about not going back at all to disturb the sacred ground. Well, we were all going to do that. Well, what I said first is conflicted as to both what's right to do, what we should do, what we should consider doing. Going back, I don't think this is going to disturb the sleep of the people from where we came from. You might want to be very well glad to see it. Mm-hmm. I, for one, would really love to go.
Yeah.
To what level to go back? If it's just a visit, maybe just stay for a while. And I'm sure a lot of us here would be thinking the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyone else have any thoughts on whether a trip to Okuk should happen or what the grounds of people going to Okuk would be?
I think that in the future it would be nice to add pictures of survivors that have passed on. We do have pictures.
That's a good idea.
I've seen a few people bring in pictures of their families, so I think it would be nice to have like maybe small group sessions so that other people can understand who these people are. It's a way of connecting. You get to see and share.
Share your family story. Yeah. Well, more like a circle kind of.
Sharing pictures in a big group is kind of hard sometimes when everybody got a story or want to point out any similarities.
Tracy?
My point I wanted to add, and I talked about it a couple times maybe, was doing the family tree with the pictures and recognizing all the people that came from them. Like, I think that is so important just to keep the tree going because this is where we came from, right? That is one I would definitely like to see continue if possible. But also echoing too on what Gerald said, I wasn't even supposed to be here because I didn't initially sign up for the trip because it interfered with my timing around work travels. But I'm actually glad I'm here. But in saying that, I still feel sad for the ones who wanted to go back up. And I know my sisters who were supposed to come, some didn't go because they were disappointed that they didn't actually get to go up. And I understand the sacred ground, but maybe that's something we need to look at in the future if there is another trip planned. And I don't know if rules apply for Skidoo is the same as they do for Bolts. I don't know. Like, that's something you got to look at and try to prepare for. Maybe springtime may be a better time. I don't know. And you guys are going to have to do some back work on regards to maybe if Skidoos can do it, if everybody else wants to Skidoo, they can do it. Like, you know, like, sometimes I find these waivers, these rules, I find very colonialistic in regards to stopping us from doing what we've always done. That's who we are. Going on the land is who we are. That's part of who we are. And then it's have government. This is us, you know? Like, I really find I struggle with that because it's stopping us from doing things that we want to do. So I just wanted to say that.
Yep.
Can there be, like, liability papers we fill out if something happens?
We had the conversation with Transport Canada because we did have waivers that we would have everyone sign. But when I was talking with Transport Canada, they said the waivers wouldn't cut it. If something actually did happen, the first thing they would do would be to check if the boat was in compliance with the regulations. So as soon as they went to check that and they realized it wouldn't be in compliance, we'd still be liable. Just for your information, we are looking at it broader at the NG as a whole because it's really disrupted all the DHSD programming, all of our lands and natural resources with researchers that go out, archaeologists that go out. We have a Hebron project every summer where we hire people to restore the church, even our base camp operations. So it's really affected the government as a whole in our programming. So we are looking at it more internally. We will be having some follow-up discussions with Transport Canada to see if there's any way that we can either change some of the regulations or make it a little bit different, especially in regards to our way of life. It's also an income for some community members, like income that they might require. So it's really impacted everything that we're doing. So just to let you know, we are looking at it more internally and to have some of those discussions to see how we go about.
Is this still an option, though, for future? Something. Would it affect Skidoo's too?
It's marine.
Okay.
Yep. As of right now, that's what I know. I don't know about Skidoo's. I haven't asked about
Skidoo's. So when you say for the future, but know that there's all of us are here, is that still an option? Maybe in the future that would be something we could look at.
I don't think we're cutting out a possible trip at all to Oka, but
figuring out ways around how to do it.
Yeah, or if we got to help our community members get up to compliance. I think the big issue, as I think Minister Lyle mentioned in his speech yesterday, is the whole insurance piece. So per person, you got to have coverage of up to $250,000. So, I mean, that's a huge impact on our beneficiaries. Like, I don't know of many beneficiaries that are going to be able to get a marine insurance up to that coverage. So we are looking at those things internally as well, like how do we help our beneficiaries, even in regards to the boat driving certificates, those kinds of things. So it is a broad issue.
I don't know if we've mentioned that the church that we have here in Maine was the church that was in Ukuk.
Jamie Bright confirmed that for me last year when I was here in the winter when I was having the sessions. I had read somewhere that Martin took a group of men from Nain and they went up, Oka related men, who went up and after the Nain church burnt, and which was 2 or 3 years after the flood. And apparently there was a couple of plans on the go. One was to dismantle the hospital in Oka and to bring it to Hopedale and put up a hospital in Hopedale. And then the other, well, they hadn't quite decided. So the buildings were still there like a couple of years after the fact. But then Nain lost everything. They lost their church, all their buildings, the manse, everything that they had. So they were just standing on the ground with nothing. And so instead, then the dismantled hospital materials were all brought in to help build buildings in Nain. And the men led by Martin, who, like I've said before, was an Okak man himself, they went up to Okak and took the church pieces, and some materials were used in other parts. But the beams, which of course were really big for a church, they were used in the bottom of the church. So I read this in some article, and I mentioned it when I was doing the traveling this winter. And Jamie Brake stood up and he confirmed that. And a couple of people sort of said, is that really true? You know, they kind of didn't think that could be right. And he said, it is true, because when they were doing some repairs, sometime since he was here, he said that some of the beams in the bottom of the church had been revealed, like, you know, you take off the board or whatever to be able to see, and you could see Oka written on some of the beams of the main church. So when they had to rebuild after Nain's fire, they did that. They went to Oka. And I thought that was really meaningful for the people who had to move to Nain, because part of their Oka church would now be part of their new home church.
That's a nice story.
When she's going to be the month, I notice it's not on the agenda now. What are the plans for that?
So the monument that was talked about in the original agenda, that's a monument that Parks Canada has developed. So they're still planning to put that up. They haven't started any discussions around when or how or what. I think Michelle had mentioned we were looking at getting something made by a local artist here, whether it was Labradorite or soapstone or what have you, with the names etched in, to hopefully bring that up to Okak. So we still need to have the discussions on how we would even go about doing that or what we're going to do around that particular piece. But we can certainly keep people informed as to what Parks Canada develops as they go. I'm sure we'll have input into that process. Sarah?
One of the things that I guess I'm just wondering about Family Tree, are you still going to think of doing Family Tree for people like me, like the Milics? Because my dad was born in Oka, and my mom, and because I am related to a lot of people, and I feel if there were people that were left out from the Family Tree, we also should respect them too at the same level as the rest.
Yeah, so the work that Patty's been doing on Family Trees, a lot of it is prior to a partnership we have with MUN called Tradition and Transitions. But when that project started up, then Patty started working with that particular project on Family Trees. So that particular project ends next March, But we can certainly have that discussion internally within the department about when Patty's done now and TNT finishes, how we're going to keep the family tree piece going. So we can certainly talk about that within the department to see how we can continue that particular project.
I wanted to highlight when I went to church when the hunters read off all the names of the people, and you said something about there's going to be names put on the big grave. Is their name going in for the big grave where everybody was buried or?
No, so the only thing that we've been talking about and the names that he listed off, that's the one that we were talking about getting a local artist to do like a big rock. We haven't decided where that's going or even the process about where we're going to even decide where that goes.
Like in the future, it would be nice to get all the names in the grave.
Michelle, did you do archaeology up there? And do you know who lived where or like how the tomb was laid out?
We went up and did an archaeological assessment before this event, just kind of trying to figure out where we could all stay in tents so that it didn't kind of disturb any of the old houses or the old foundations or anything like that. And we kind of took stock of what everything looks like, the foundation. So we had a look at the graveyard as well. And we have like some census records as well. So the actual work of putting names to houses still has to be done, but I think it's definitely.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Who am I speaking to?
Charles John Penny from St. Anthony, Newfoundland.
Oh, welcome to Nain.
Thank you.
So what do you think of the...
Yeah, after the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
My grandmother was Rosie Pommack. She married Julius Ford. They moved to Black Island after they moved out of Okat, and she married Julius Ford, Maggie Gear, and Alex, and my grandmother survived.
So how has it been going so far today?
Really, really good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other highlights? Yeah?
When I was a university student, I think I was in the last year history, I had a Dr. Webb as a professor. One day he brought in the church records from Okat, and he let us all go look at it. I asked about, can the Moravians in Labrador?